playful banter.
Ooh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology, and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show Studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up. And take it away.
Well, now that the show has started, we can, like, stop talking now.
Yep.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Linux Link Tech Show, episode 207.
The Linux Link Tech Show.
And I just
Alan Metzler. Take it away, Alan.
I just realized I started the show late on my end here. I do a recording just in case anything ever happens, and I just realized I forgot to start it. Oh!
It's just us tonight. 2 hours of us.
And possibly calling. We don't know.
2 hours.
So who wants to get the ball rolling tonight?
Well, what were we just talking about?
I don't know. I said everything I wanted to say before the show started, so I'm going to go to bed. Good night.
Oh, we're talking about looking at those Axis cams. Axis?
Yeah.
Axie cams? I don't know how to... That's how you pronounce them. But the webcams that are people leave open to the world, and you can search them through Google.
You need to find somebody that has them, has those links again, you know?
Yeah, I have to look. I have the link somewhere, and now I can't find it. There was a guy, and I bet you it's a link I have at work. I don't have it here. On it, that actually did he went out and searched like every hour for different ones and put thumbnails up, and then what you would end up doing, you click on it and you go right to that the camera live. But unfortunately, I don't have it here. I have it at work because when I'm bored, it's what I do at work. I look into your life.
Yeah.
How about we do a little Ohio Linux Fest update?
Yeah.
To an advertisement. Right.
Sure. Well, the people at the Ohio Linux Fest, they announced their schedule as well as their speaker lineup, and it looks like a pretty interesting lineup. You can go to ohiolinux.org and check it out yourselves. We are now listed as a media sponsor for the Ohio Linux Fest, so that's a kind of a cool thing. Now, the pre-party. Last year, for those who went to Ohio last year, we had the pre-party at Barley's. And it was at the same time as the official Ohio Linux Fest pre-party. They at the Ohio Linux Fest pre-party last year, they wound up, I think, having a couple of kegs of beer and just pizza. Well, after
everybody,
they were there, everybody came to ours, including the organizers of the Ohio Linux Fest. And they had a really good time with us, too. So what they're going to do this year is the official pre-party will be at... Bum, 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 Barley's.
Barley's.
So we're going to have, it's going to be, the pre-party is going to be starting at 6 o'clock this year at Barley's. We'll be there. They're going to do something pretty cool. They're probably going to have something where, like, they're going to have tokens, beer tokens. So all the Ohio Linux Festival people that register, you have to register, show up at Barley's for the pre-party at 6 o'clock on Friday. They'll be giving out beer tokens, and you will be able to use these beer tokens to buy beer.
Yep, not just get some beer tokens. And,
not
and,
just crappy beer, but good beer.
Good stuff, yeah. They're talking about, what was it, some kind of keg or something they're going to, like a wooden cask or something? They
yeah,
were
they're talking about cracking a wooden...
Something pretty cool.
Wooden casket of homebrew, so...
And then, of course, you know, like you said, we're all going to be there, and that's why it's going to be a big success, because it's going to be the tech show thing as well. And, Alan and I are going to be, you know, out front with some cigars, too, so stop by and see us.
Now, Alan and Link, are you guys going to actually drink beer?
I might have one. I'm not a big beer drinker. I definitely have some whiskey, but, you know.
Yeah, me and Dan are the bigger beer drinkers, I think, out of the group.
I prefer wine spritzers.
No, wine
you like
spritzers?
Wine coolers.
Bartles and
James. Bartles and James, yes.
And Zima.
Zima.
And Dakota Kick.
Nothing just but the best, man.
Yeah. Now, it's not Miller Lite. It's not Schlitz. It's Barley's Homebrew. It's a brewery. It's a microbrewery. It's also a restaurant, too. But the beer is quite good. We can attest to that fact. I had sampled several different ones, including Russian Imperial Stout.
And they have pretty barmaids, too.
Yeah.
That's an important thing, you know.
So, for the after pre-party, maybe we can do the Mongolian Walk again, if you guys are into that.
That's dinner, yeah.
That's definitely awesome.
Gotta go there again.
So, it's going to be a big crowd there this year, probably, because it's going to be at Barley's.
Yeah. By the way, Link, you got to leave work early on Friday to come on up here to Cigars International. Free cigars and burgers and hot dogs. Their end of the summer sale, their special party, whatever you want to call it.
That sucks. I wish I could. That sounds
You can take a half day.
Yeah, sure.
You just want to get sick, you know.
Sure. That'll have, right, because yeah, my boss be listening to the show or something, right? Oh, yeah, sure, take Friday off, yeah.
Fire ass.
You're sick, huh?
You are going to be sick on Friday. You're going to be sick.
Now watch, I'll be puking my guts out or something, literally sick, and I'm going to get in trouble because you just heard the show. Just wait.
But it could be interesting. I think I'm going to go up there and have dinner.
Sounds yummy.
Dinner and earth.
We gotta go visit James too.
Yes,
Mr. Stogie's.
We haven't been down there. Well, I gotta meet you there now.
Yeah.
Which means I get to drive through hell, but you
and
get
I
to
can
come.
Just take the train. Yeah.
See, you come up right nice and normal. I gotta drive.
Where's hell? Philadelphia.
No, Trenton, Calhoun Street in Trenton, man. It's like a burned out. You know the pictures of like bombed out Beirut type pictures. That's downtown Trenton.
I thought that was Camden.
Well, it's Camden too, but this is a little section of Trenton that's really, really, you know, it's gotten. I mean, it was worse 25 years ago when I was going down there. There used to be a club down there where I saw all the punk shows at on it, and it was shitty then, and it's just gotten worse. Wink and I went down there. When we were leaving it, we came up to the light, and I left, like, you know, 20 car lengths there just in case, like, you know, the people wandering around the street decided to, like, come up to the car. I was just going to, like, whip through the light on my own. Don't want to, like, park yourself in anywhere.
Don't want to get carjacked, right?
Oh, let's see. It could happen.
All right.
Yeah. If there's a red light, you just keep driving.
And there you go. The
we were ready to do that.
Now. www.mrstogies.com. Sorry,
yes.
Buddy James runs that store. Damn fine establishment. Real good cigars and a wickedly nice cigar lounge.
It's a lounge in the back.
Right?
It's really cool.
That's
comfy chairs and
yeah,
comfy chairs and internet access.
Yeah, internet access. Good people. Hey, what more could you want?
Pizzeria next door in case you get hungry.
He's got, yeah, it's a good pizzeria next door, and he's got some kind of drink thing going on in that little bar he's got in the corner, too.
Oh, yeah, the coffee and water and stuff.
That's the stuff. Morrisville, PA. Come on, come on. You know, we got to do that sometime, too. We should have organize a cigar night over there with James and just see if we can get some people to show up. That would be cool.
I'm game.
We should do that. I bet he'd go for it. Bunch of geeky guys buying cigars. Yeah. We could do that.
It is us.
And also, speaking of the Ohio Linux Fest, Patrick, you have lined up whom to give us some giveaways, some books and stuff?
The fine people at A Press Publishing will be donating some books for us to give away.
And the fine people at Prentice Hall / Pearson Education will also be doing likewise. They're the people who you know, who I've been telling you about all along, just do fantastic, phenomenal, you know, books. And they gave us the stuff that we gave away last year as well. So they're stepping right up to the plate, and they're going to do us one as good or better this year. So, you know, they get to clap. Those are fine people there helping us help you all have a good time, too. And I've been trying to work on getting O'Reilly to step up to the plate and give us some stuff, too. However, they have not been quite as receptive yet. And I can't figure out exactly why. So, you know, feel free to go ahead and write them a nasty gram or something.
That's because they're going to be giving all their books to Chess Griffin, who sponsor them.
Mm.
We're going to have him kicked out.
Yep. Because, you know, pretty soon it's going to be the Ohio Linux Fest / Tech Show reunion show, you know, reunion party. And,
no Chess Griffin.
That's right.
Or Dave Yates.
Especially Dave Yates. That guy's a problem. Everywhere he goes.
Just too wild there?
Him and his stay between the ditches attitude, you know? Can't have that. So.
Always like with the crystal meth and everything?
Oh, that's just mean there.
Don't just start rumors, Dan. That's not nice, man.
He's on the ice.
On the ice.
That's funny.
He's going to go out and steal some copper pipes in Columbus middle of the night.
Chris and Brian, the new action just, show. And
you just know we're getting kicked out
of
the hotel this
freedom.
Year, right? Yep, that's right.
Freedom, hate and freedom.
If we get kicked out of the hotel, where are we staying?
We're staying over at
Cozy Inn's, right?
Yeah, we have to go down to the Cozy Inn.
Joel said we all stay at his house if we get kicked out.
Sleep with the pubic hair.
The more the merrier.
Just look for that homeless guy that we met last year.
Yeah.
On the rock. He took us to the Waffle House, and then we were good to go.
Just a real nice guy at the Waffle House.
That's right.
Cozy in, baby.
Oh, man.
Alan liked the Cozy Inn.
Grubbing last year too.
You know, it was just yes. Yeah, so it was actually nice, with the exception of it was just dirty to me. I'm sorry. I just am like sort of picky about that sort of thing. Pay money, you want something.
All of this because Alan found the hair on his pillow last year.
Found pubic hair on his pillow.
You pay money, you don't want
hair, man.
You just don't want hair on the things.
Oh, man.
Hair on what?
Hair. He found a hair on his pillow vest. That's what all this you know, stays
well, that
in
the
hotel
that and all the hair in the bathroom and shit. It's like the bathtub, you know, bathroom was dirty. Maybe you guys had the clean room. I don't know.
He found the hair on his toothbrush. And
yeah.
No, that stuff
was
all taken
care of. Curly blonde hair, too.
That stuff was all taken care of there, but, you know.
The hair on his face. He got home. When he got home on Sunday, his wife looked in his beard and said, why is there a little curly blonde hair in your beard? And Alan said, oh, Link, you left something behind. I'm sorry, that was wrong.
Yeah, we're used to you, though.
Yeah, that's just Dan.
Hate and freedom. Speaking of hate and freedom, Link,
it's
huh?
It's a lemon
that?
Party Dan.
How about that O'Reilly blog posting there?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you brought that to my attention that somebody else is thinking along the same lines that I was thinking along, you know, a year ago or whatever. pretty good post, I think. I'm hoping that they catch the same amount of shit for it from RMS as I did, though. Because obviously, you know, if it's an idea that I had months and months ago, it's still wrong, according to Richard. But
you're always
for the rest for the rest of you who don't know what the hell we're talking about.
What the hell are we talking about?
There was a I don't even have the link anymore, but
I'm gonna get the link for you, but now I gotta find out.
There's an article about applying four freedoms to hardware. Instead of just software. And if you recall, like I had this, when we were doing one of our RMS interviews, I had this, you know, conversation with him, and he said, well, of course I'm crazy because...
Because you're just crazy.
Those freedoms can't exist because he didn't think of it first or something. But anyway, did Dan just pop off? Because I don't hear the jet engine in the background. At any rate, you know... it's a very good article. I hope Dana puts the article up on there pretty soon. You guys really should check it out. Anyone? Anyone?
I'm here.
I read it.
I didn't read it, so.
Well, I'm trying to find it real quick.
He posted it in the forum.
Yeah, but I'm still trying to find it.
Hello?
Hey, he's
there
back.
He is.
Oh, no, for some reason my workstation locked up.
You compiling the kernel again, Dan?
No.
He's force feeding it a sandwich or something. You can hear him in the background.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Holy crap. This isn't good. Because now all those. Now I gotta re. I got a.
How much of the show did we lose?
Everything up till now, but I don't think we lost it. I mean, I can rebuild it.
We have the technology.
It's gone.
It's not gone yet.
It's gone.
I've had this happen before. It's not that it's trivial to rebuild it. It just takes time.
Oh. I think mine is still going. If you need it.
All right.
Yeah, mine is still going up here. I usually turn around the show by tomorrow morning, actually, for me.
Yeah, but you're missing the first couple minutes, too, right?
No, I'm only missing a little bit, a little portion of the very beginning of the intro.
We're good, then.
Found some. I'm looking around at this access cam. I found some neat ones with some satellite dishes out in the middle of the desert.
Cool.
I got posted on the... on the IRC there for people to check out. You can zoom, you can pan it all around and zoom in and out. It's actually a pretty neat camera. It's the Axis 231D network dome camera. Actually, I would like to have a couple of those in the house.
I'd love to get that. The Axis cams work really good. I'd love to get a couple of them. The unfortunate part is you're like $300 a piece.
I was going
to
say, yeah, the cheapest one is like $270. I've looked around.
Yep. They're expensive.
But they're nice because all you got to do is just plug them into the, you know, Ethernet and configure them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're all. I think they're powered off of that as well.
Now, I know that there are a lot of other IP cameras out there. This should be a good poll for, you know, the guys who are listening in IRC and stuff. There's a lot of other IP cams out there, and if you have one or have seen one that actually works well and puts up, like, pictures that you can grab, you really should let us know, especially if it's, you know, reasonably priced, really let us know, because most of the ones that I run into, they do streaming video, and they'll use some retarded Java thing or something like that.
Yeah, like those Linksys ones I bought.
Or ActiveX, which is even worse, which means that you can't, you know, you really can't use them under Linux. At least not the way I'd like to, anyway. But, you know, I really would like to get a couple of them. That would be pretty cool. And I just don't have the time to research all the different ones, I guess.
Well, this one I put up there is on. It looks like it's on the top of a building. Oh, really nice, clear picture. I'm zooming in on the camera, on the satellite dishes. Very nice looking.
Who's the breather?
Not me.
What? Me.
Who's the breather?
That would be Dan.
Can you hear me now?
What?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Do you hear me breathing?
Yeah, it's very loud.
I don't even have the phone near me. I'm not breathing.
You're not breathing.
Are you sure that's not the,
you want us to call somebody, Dan?
Are you sure that's not the server you hear? Because I'm on the phone right now.
Yes, the server sounds like breathing.
Is any
difference?
You
hear the breathing now.
Now.
Oh my god, this is a pain in the butt. All my systems have been like, what is it? Something's been mounted 182 times without a check.
So now it's going to take 30 minutes before it comes up.
File system check of 9 million gigabytes, right? I always love that. My stuff does that to me at work at like the most inopportune times. You know, when I'm in a hurry or something, I need to log in quick because I got to go do something. I'll pop my laptop on and it'll go, oh, by the way, it's been 123 times and we need to do a file system check on this 30 gig partition real quick first. And there's nothing real quick about doing a file system check on 30 gigs. Nothing at all. And it's only 30 gigs. You know? Can you imagine like one of my 500 gig drives or something like that? Or my 7.5 terabyte SAN or something, you know?
Ay. Oh! One down!
Done. Somebody else talk.
Well.
One down, one down what, man?
Oh.
The sound of dead air again. I gotta get that cricket noise.
Well, I can talk about the migration of schedules direct if you'd like from the TV and Blink and go take a nap.
Let's do it.
Blink's already taking a nap.
Okay, well, I got the ball rolling here.
Wait, hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm just about to get it right back up again.
That sounds like a personal issue to me.
Whoa. Easy now.
He's over there playing that Lemon Party site again.
Dan is having fun again.
What is the audacity? Where does Audacity save itself?
Where does it save it?
Good
question.
Yeah. Home directory, I guess. Wherever you are, home, wherever you told it to save. Temp something. I don't know. I'm guessing.
That sound you hear in the background is Dan typing feverishly, trying to get back the first half of the show.
Go for the half fidelity version.
Hold on a second. Before I...
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Really having a problem over there, aren't you, Dan?
You can tell Dan is stressed. You can just hear it. You know.
And hear it in the key clicks.
Well, so much for recovery.
They're just not there any longer, huh?
Yeah, so much for that.
It's because you forgot to start the show in the first place, right?
No.
Audio's done.
The echo's dead.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, not this again.
Oh, my God.
Hello?
There we go.
No.
There we go.
It's the tech show on drugs.
Are we still streaming?
Look at the pretty colors, man.
Oh, wait a minute.
Pretty.
Yeah, I don't think it's working too good right now,
Dan.
I don't know what button you push, but it's not the one.
You guys are going to have to stop talking, or I'm going to have to go to an aspirin or something.
What I should do now is turn the IFC check the sound on and let it feedback through.
And this, folks, is why people actually tune in to listen to us.
I just don't know why he's saying
repeated line.
That seems to be something you just started tonight.
Oh, crap. Damn it, I gotta reboot my system.
This is your tech show on drugs. Don't do drugs. I think if we say that, we qualify for federal money.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
We have to do our anti-drug message there.
Jesus. That's horrendous.
It's always an adventure, you know?
Are we going to get knocked off?
I don't know. I don't think he has to reboot that system. We're still on the asterisk.
I think it's his workstation.
A streaming server?
No, that's not the same server, is it? The stream one is a different box than his workstation
right,
is.
Right, it's a whole different box.
So hopefully we're still on. He's back.
All right, I'm rebooting again. Alan, we're going to have to go with your copy of the show.
Okay. I'll fix it up and send it down, and I'll put it on the in my home directory there, and you can pick it up.
Yay!
No problem.
Do you want it equalized first and everything?
Do you have Levelator?
Yeah, I'll Levelate it.
Just run it through Levelator.
Oakley doakley. Put the high version, high bitrate version on there this week, everybody.
That's fine.
Cool.
Bob, what you control.
Another disc goes in.
Are we ready to proceed, or is Dan still patching the hemorrhage?
Hold on, here it's coming back up again. Now let me see if I can get... I'll tell you what happened then.
So was it operator error?
No. Well, not like you think. Hold on. Hold on.
Jesus H, man.
Now, we haven't done this in a long time like this. I miss it so much.
Well, it's you know, it's a good thing this is just one of our, you know, talk shows, junk shows.
Yeah, I was going to say, good thing we don't have a guest on this one. Ooh, I found a fish cam. Which I would put together, except all my fish died, so wouldn't really be worthwhile.
Oh. Give me some words.
Testing one, two. Hello.
La, 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 la.
Okay.
There is no echo. There is no echo.
Sorry about that.
Cheer.
Let me make sure we're still streaming.
Hellmark says they died.
Yeah, I kind of figured they would probably die. Because there was nothing being pumped through it.
Ha.
It should be up now, though.
I was going to say, Jordan says the stream is still going.
Is anybody on BIMREV?
Don't know.
I want to know who's on BIMREV. Somebody check BIMREV stream. Oh, no, it must be us. Yeah, it's us. It should be. I'm seeing that. It's us. All right. All right, here's what happened.
The truth comes out.
So this is why it took so damn long to get back. For some unknown reason... for some unknown reason, my system just locked up. I don't know why. I wasn't doing anything. I was actually going to look for that O'Reilly blog posting that we started going off about the system hardware, free hardware. And I went over looking for that. My system just totally locked up. I had to do a hard restart. And, of course, coming up, because I very rarely reboot my system, it went 182 days without being checked. And, of course, I had to go through some file check, you know, checking the file system, and then...
You're running Windows 95, right?
Yes, of course. So I finally got it back up, and I went to see about retrieving the files. And I don't know why Audacity offers a recovery, but it never works. And I thought that I could, in the past, I'd just go in and recover the files by, there's a method that you can do it by, you know, catting them all together and stuff like that, which isn't
right.
Too hard. Creates a WAV file. And I thought I would go and do that, but they changed the layout of the data structure, which, my initial way to do that was to go in and get those files and move them before I would start Audacity to collect the second part of the show and then pull those other files back together and append it to the beginning of the second recording. But I figured I'd give, because the layout was different, I figured I'd give the recovery tool, thinking that it might work. Of course, it didn't recover, and when I closed, it said, "Are you sure you want to close?" I said, "Yes," and it did a nice job of deleting those files for me. Which was
awesome.
You got to thank him for that. Cleaned itself right up.
Cleans up real nice there, don't he?
Got rid of everything. So we're going to have to depend on yours, Alan. So I figured, okay, whatever, the hell with it. Start up Audacity, get ready to continue recording. I pop in the fire up SJ phone, and nothing's recording. And lo and behold, that's because I left my sound card plugged in, the USB sound card, and it got picked up as sound device 1 or 0, which pushed my onboard, what we use to for pulling everything together and sending out to the stream. It pushed that sound card to device 3. So it kind of switched the sound cards the way they're used and really screwed stuff up. So,
nice.
Yeah, beautiful. So I had to pull it down. And one of the things is I figured, well, I can sit here and unload all the ALSA stuff and, you know, fire it back up again, or I could just reboot the system, because unloading all the ALSA drivers and then reinitiating them is such a pain in the butt. And I wanted to make sure I got it right, so I rebooted the system. And that's the way it goes. You know, we have these happen sometimes.
It wouldn't be the tech show without problems.
It's been a while since we actually had a catastrophe
it's
like
been a
that.
Long time since we had any problems like that.
I do. It's Gorkon's fault.
It's as good as excuse as any other, so, yeah, pretty much.
I blame him. But, you know what, we have a backup copy, Alan. Alan's good to go. And,
Alan's going to edit out all that crap in the middle, that nonsense.
No, I'm not editing out anything. I never edit. You just got to take it with all the good stuff there. That's what fast forwards are for on MP3 players.
Yeah. And stuff.
All right. Yeah. Say something, Alan.
Testing 1, 2.
Yeah. Okay. Why?
Why?
Here we go. Finally, after all this time, here is the article. I will post it in the IRC channel. The four freedoms applied to hardware. And, of course, our own resident freedom hater, Link, had brought that up a couple months ago. And I think one of the excuses was, or one of the complaints against the four freedoms applying to hardware was that there was no easy way to copy and distribute said hardware.
Right.
But what are you going to do? Copy and distribute said hardware. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I didn't read the article, unfortunately, so I can't really talk about it.
One of the main tenets of the article is as a consumer of the end product, we should be able to do whatever it is we would like to do with said hardware. And that exempts the manufacturer from necessarily having to cover what's being done to it under a warranty.
Right.
And I kind of agree with that. There's no reason why the manufacturer should lock it up and require that it only be used in this way and not leave it up to the consumer to be able to run it a different way. That whole concept of what they've been complaining about with regards to TiVoization is a clear-cut example of that. Not being able to hack the TiVo and use it however you would like to use it, because of the technology in there restricts you from making any changes or running any changed software on said system.
Yeah, they don't want you running anything except their software on their hardware.
Right. Which, you know, in a sense kind of makes the software Well, where else are you going to run the software? I mean, I guess you can build your own system, but, you know, what are you going to do? Uh-huh. And,
just hack it anyways.
Yeah.
Because that's what they'll do anyways. I mean, if you, no matter what you try to lock down, I mean, they're just going to, somebody's going to figure out how to do it. If there's enough if there's enough interest in it.
Wasn't there something out there that just recently about something being all protected and then they just hacked it in a couple of days, cracked it?
The iPhone?
Yes, that's what that, I think that's probably what I'm thinking about. I mean, what's the point?
Well, people want to use that hardware for with a different carrier. Right now, you can only use an iPhone in the United States with singular AT&T.
Yeah, AT&T. No, I didn't mean what's the point of cracking it or hacking it. I meant what's the point of other than, you know, companies getting together and making a buck off of each other.
Well, that's what it is. They make exclusive deals with certain carriers, and they get a cut of the sales and the profits.
No. But you know what? You know, the other flip side of that you could say is, well, that's your fault for buying a damn iPhone.
Well, you know, there's a good question,
yeah, but,
right,
you know,
there.
The
one argument with that, and it just keeps coming up, on it, or it has in the past, on it, is all carriers lock their cell phones to the carrier on it. You know, it's not illegal to unlock one if you can. On it. Most phones you can unlock on it, with the exception of Verizon, because you couldn't take it anyways on it. But it's not illegal to unlock the phone on it. I think what piss people off is they're not making it available to be unlocked right now.
Well, you can go on eBay and get an unlocked phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, most phones are sold that way initially. It's the carriers that lock them down, but all the carriers do that.
Well, I thought with a GSM phone, all you have to do is take your SIM chip out.
No, it'll still be locked. Initially, it'll still be locked to whoever you buy it from. They can punch in a code that will allow it to be used anywheres. Like most of the AT&Ts, if you take it back to a store, or Singular, wherever you want to call them, or T-Mobile for that matter, if you take it back to the store and say, you know, I'm going to Europe and I really, you know, want to use this phone on it, you can get the phone unlocked. Usually they want you to wait toward like the end of your service contract, and then they'll do it pretty much without any problems. But, you know, if you first buy a phone there, I think they're going to get some hassles. But you can always find the numbers on the internet as well to do it yourself. I think everybody's argument is that, you know, they haven't provided that ability to do that with the iPhone. And they probably won't for a while. And eventually they'll just be like, oh, yeah, you can do that. Because somebody will bitch at them saying it's not illegal for us to do this on it, regardless of what kind of, you know, contract you made with each other, you know, Singular and Macintosh or Apple or whatever you want to call them, you know, regardless of what contract you may have done on it, you know, it still says that we can still unlock it if we want to. It's not illegal to unlock a phone.
Well, okay, so if I go out and I have a contract with Singular and I have, you know, I just went out right before my contract ended, my phone broke, maybe about 2 months before, I go out and buy a nice phone, $300, let's say.
You bought off the internet, you mean?
No, I just bought. I go to their store.
Oh, you go to their store and get one.
I go to their store. I get a phone, and it's set up for their service. So then my contract comes up, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm sick of Singular. I want to go to Verizon for some reason. I take that.
Well,
phone
we won't
over
be able to
Verizon. I take that phone over to Verizon. They won't be able to unlock it and put it on their system.
Verizon, because Verizon uses a different system. Verizon uses CDMA, which is a different version of a cellular signal.
What does Singular use?
They'll use GSM.
So GSM I'd phones. Have to go to another. If I went to another,
you'd have to go to like a T-Mobile.
So I go to T-Mobile and say I want to use this phone on your service, but it's currently set up for Singular.
Theoretically, they should be able to do it. They'll probably give you a whole lot of hassle to do it. on it. Because I know a while back before T-Mobile was T-Mobile, I think it was OmniPoint at the time, I had one of those phones that you know, it was a pay-per-month type deal. And I let it lapse, and after, I think it's 90 days of not using the phone, the SIM card, they locked the SIM card out of the system on it. Theoretically, you should just be able to go back there and buy a new SIM card on it, but they would not do that for me. And this was before it was, you know, they were very much, the ability to for carriers to unlock phones on this, I think, is something very, very recent on it. But at the time, they were like, you know, we know you have to buy a new phone. I'm like, well, why? All this is a card that's controlling it. I was like, sorry, you have to buy a new phone. That's probably what they would do to you on it, but I'm not sure. I've never tried it myself.
So if you have an unlocked phone and you take your SIM card out of your existing phone and pop it in the unlocked phone...
It should work.
Would you be able to... It what?
It should work.
It should... Okay, so if I go out and buy an open MoCo phone when they're available, which I would assume is going to be an unlocked phone. I don't know. Do you think that cell providers in this country are going to offer that? Or do you think it's going
not,
to be
not
sold
a,
by open
not,
MoCo?
Not a phone that the users can to modify? Nah. They're not going to push that. Because they're not making any money off it. Yeah, they're not able to make any money off of a phone that anybody can do anything with, you know, including making phone calls on.
So that supposedly the Open MoCo phone is going to be available for sale to consumers in, what, October or November?
I don't know what the time schedule is for it.
All right. So I go out and the Open MoCo phone is available. I would figure that I would order it through Open MoCo, right?
Oh, probably, yeah.
So then if I get this through Open MoCo, I should just be able to pull a SIM card out of my current cell phone, pop it in there, and it should work on the new system, right?
It should work on the new system. You may have to make sure that your phone has been off for a while so that it recognizes a new phone. Because including with the SIM card on it, you know, the phones have like their own MAC address type thing. It's not a MAC address, but it's their own serial numbers. So you may have to go in and say, this is the phone I want to use. Make sure it works on your system. I don't know that you may have to do that. I'm not totally sure.
Because I'm wondering...
A while back... Like, go ahead.
It sounds like what you're saying is the providers in the United States are not going to want to enable a unlocked phone on their system.
No, because there's no ability to lock you in any features.
Right.
And so they make the money off of features.
So what do you foresee the difficulty in the Open MoCo phone being used in this country? I mean, do you foresee a difficulty in that, or do you think...
Well, I think the only people that will probably pick it up, at least initially, are geeks such as us. Everybody else is going to go shooting for... Very few people want to buy the $500 phone or the $349 phone. People want to buy that $99 one or the $29 one. Or even more
cost
to get the
$100 iPhone, didn't they?
Well, you know what I'm saying, but it's a certain market you're gonna pick up. You're not gonna pick it up for like the college kid. The college kid is gonna pick up that $29 one. I mean, yeah, you get the geeks like us that would, but you know, the average person is gonna
pick
yourself,
my friend.
Yeah,
I'm saying
status symbol.
Well, iPhone is a status symbol.
Gonna go over big in college. Well, I don't want to argue finer details with you about that.
Well, no,
what's your point you're trying to make? Is what I'm saying.
The Open MoCo one?
Dave, yeah. you're snippy now that you've gone through your little experience.
No, I kind of derailed Alan by talking about the status symbol of the iPhone, and he was going to make a point, which I thought was rather interesting.
Not really on the iPhone. I mean, the people who would buy an iPhone were the people who would have bought any phone that came out of Apple, regardless of what it did on it. And, you know, they would pay whatever price they said it was $1,000. There would still be a certain subset of people that go out and buy a $1,000 phone. I think you're an idiot for doing that, but that's just me.
Okay. Well. Obviously, there's going to be a small...
But, you know, for the Open MoCo ones, I think it's probably going to be a very small amount of people that are going to buy it initially. Right. Unless you can push it into some place like, you know, if you want to sell it to kids, push it into, like, you know, the record shop, you know, record shops in a mall.
Do they even have record shops anymore?
Well, CD shops, you know, that type of thing. But there was one down in King of Prussia that was actually selling cell phones in there. I forget which ones they had.
And drugs.
Well, they could be doing that, too. I don't know.
Kids like Christmas.
You know, they had all the cell phones you could buy there. That's where you're gonna push that one, and being able to say that, you know, hey, I want to use this on whatever carrier I want to, but I don't know.
All right. So anyway,
buy it and take it down to Singular
maybe
and see what they
say.
Somebody,
we didn't get anybody from Obamoco on yet, did we?
No.
We should probably look into that.
I've actually tried to contact them and they haven't responded to us. So sounds like they don't want to talk to us or they're too busy.
To talk to Lug Radio. We should try again. I'll try again. I'll see if I can get in touch with somebody. Because I got questions, I want answers.
Damn it.
That's right. Well, you know, getting back to the point of closed hardware, you know, there's a big to-do about, you know, Apple not being able to be used on the iPhone on other
carriers.
Cellular services, other carriers, and there's the whole TiVoization. As looking at both of these products, I would come to expect to be locked in to something from Apple. That is just something I would come to expect from Apple. That type of behavior, not about choice, but about this is the Apple way. This is where we're going to do it. I am. Kind of like disappointed in TiVo that they would behave in a similar manner and make it difficult for, you know, for the community of geeks who wanted to hack on the TiVo to be able to hack on the TiVo. You know what I mean? I would expect that from Apple. I shouldn't expect that from TiVo. And should we expect it from any vendor?
Well, we shouldn't expect it, but I think we're going to have to put up with it. TiVo locks down a lot of their things only because I think that's the way they keep in good with the movie and the TV industry. By saying, hey, you know, people can't steal your stuff, you know, if you let us record it. Which is actually bullshit because, I mean, they make it very easy to get stuff off. With the newer TiVos, it's super easy to get shit off of it. It's a very simple script that will get it right off for you.
What kind of file system does that have? Is that EXT3?
Their file system? I don't know, to be honest with you. I think it is, but I'm not totally sure on the newer ones. But I know, like, you know, if I want to get, you know, TV shows that I've recorded off of it on it, it's super simple.
Do you have to pay extra for that feature, or...?
No, it's their undocumented features.
So if you go to like the Cool Hacks website, it'll tell you how to do it.
Basically, all you have to do to get stuff off of there, to download stuff off of there, on it, you need a program called TiVo Decode, which is out on it's shareware. It's out. Not shareware, but it's freeware. It's out there. Just Google it, and then whatever IP address your TiVo is sitting on, go to HTTPS on it, and it's a secure site. You know, I guess a secure version of it. It asks you for the TiVo name, which is TiVo, and it asks you for you get a media. Once it logs in and it gets all registered and everything, you get like a media access key number, which is basically the password to the box. And then it brings up a web page with everything you've recorded on it. But I do know that it obeys broadcast flags as well, though, even though they're not really implemented. On it because you can get some video podcasts off of TiVo will go out and record them for you on it, like, you know, Cranky Geeks and DLTV and that type of stuff on it. And those you can't download on it, which seem awful strange to me, but seeing as you can get them for free on the internet, I don't know why TiVo wouldn't let you download them as well, but I know those are the only two that I haven't been able to download
because they're free. They're not worth anything, that's why.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know,
don't talk about free, especially Freedom over here, because, you know, Link is just going to go out of his mind with rage.
But like I regularly watch, you know, my TiVo, my new TiVo is downstairs, and I regularly watch TV on my computer up here, stuff I've recorded.
So you can, you copy it over, or can you stream?
No, I can you can actually stream. I found it took me like 2 hours of digging around on the internet on it, but I actually found somebody to put a little. It's a, you know, it's a one line script, but it basically gave me all the parameters to get MPlayer to work on it. You got to put in like a. I forget what exactly it is, minus VF, and then you set up a buffer on it. But, you know, it takes it from the TiVo, runs it through TiVo decode, pipes it to MPlayer, and it pops up on your screen. Works really nice, too.
Yeah, you know, the thing that stinks about that is, I mean, you cripple the system like that. You only end up, like, hurting the people who want to use it legitimately. Because goodness knows, the people that you need to watch out for that are doing the pirating on such a scale that it really impacts are, you know, don't even bother with that crap and have no problems getting around copy protection.
Well, yeah, because
no
I mean,
what it is,
if you look at all the stuff,
their name's Pat, who burns everything for everybody anyhow.
Oh yeah, if you look at the stuff that's on BitTorrent and stuff, on you know, all that stuff's coming in HD anyways. I mean, you don't see the stuff coming off of TiVo. TiVo
right.
is what 480 lines by 480 lines. I mean, it's not.
Yep.
You know, it's standard definition.
Yeah, somebody's recording in high def somewhere. Then they burn it to Xvid and put it out on BitTorrent.
Yeah, I mean that's you know. You're not getting it off of TiVo. The stuff that's stolen, but it's the easiest target to bitch at.
Right.
That's you know, it's much easier to say we're going to you know make it so no one can do this, and then close your eyes to the people who actually can do this. You know, the people in your own organization that are doing it. You know, your movies and stuff that are getting ripped off and put on the internet on it aren't coming from that guy sitting in the front row with a camcorder. It's coming from the
people that are members of the Motion Picture Association
exactly.
who get preview copies of the movies.
And a matter of fact, I don't know how people could actually watch pictures like that. That you know the stuff that's recorded.
Does it have a time code on the bottom?
No. I mean the I saw a movie once of I forget what it was. A guy at work lent it to me on, and it was a hot movie. It was just you know it just came out, and he's like, oh yeah, I just got this. I bought it from some guy in Allentown. And it was one of those pictures that were like you know recorded from a camcorder in the front row, and the whole thing is
get a laugh at that shit.
Oh, it's hilarious because you know you're watching TV and your neck just wants to like look up like you're in the front row, and it wasn't even level. It was like the guy was holding on his lap, so it was like pointed up at like 45 degrees and like tilted at like you know. Not quite, like maybe like 30 or 40 degrees off center. I watched like 10 minutes of it. I couldn't look at it. It was just
yeah,
so bad.
Those videos are a joke, man. They sell them. I remember when I used to live in Staten Island. There used to be some guy who used to come around on the Staten Island ferry selling those videos, those bootleg videos, some guy sitting in a theater.
Yeah.
It's pretty pathetic.
And I mean, you know, if you're really worried about that taking away from your profit, I mean, you got bigger problems. Like I said, you know, I couldn't even watch 5 minutes in a movie. On it just hurt to watch. It really just hurt.
I saw some guy doing that actually in a movie theater one time. He had a tripod with a camera on it and a coat actually over the side of the camera. So you know it was like he was taking up two seats and he had somebody there with him. And like when the ushers came. Into the theater, he quickly moved it so you couldn't see. You know, he covered it so you couldn't see it. But before the movie started, and then I'm curious as to how it turned out for him. But hey, now
I just—that's just so lame to watch shit like that. Yeah, save your $4 and get it on Blockbuster or whatever. However much Blockbuster costs now, I don't know.
Sorkon asked me if he got kicked out, and I said, no, he did not get kicked out. He didn't get caught. That's what it is.
Was this recent or just a while back?
Yeah, this was recent. This was in the past couple of months. I forget what movie. You know what?
Was
it might have been Knocked Up.
So they didn't have the guys with the night vision goggles roaming through?
I have never seen those guys roaming through anything.
I've never seen one either.
So,
although I don't go to that many opening day movies anyways, so.
You know, I wasn't there on opening day, so I don't know. I haven't been to an opening day movie in a long time.
I did Transformers, but that was purely by accident. I didn't realize that was the opening day.
Transformers. That was a really good movie, too.
Yeah, I did like that. But again, that's the movie that, you know, if you tried to buy that from some guy, you know, recording in the front row, you know, of a theater on it, you'd still go to the theater and buy and watch the thing on it because it really needed to be seen
that
way. The
whole thing, yeah. You need the widescreen experience, you know.
They should be looking at it as like promotional stuff. But
The movie theaters would not be having as much trouble as they are if they would just pull their head out of
their asses.
Maybe lower the prices a little bit for the popcorn and put some freaking ushers back into place. Shut the damn teenagers
and mop the floor once in a while.
Yeah, mop the floor. You know that would be nice too. Nobody likes sitting in a sticky seat.
We'll stay out of those porn theaters.
People really, really, People really, really detest spending $40 to go
Thursday
to a
afternoon.
And some dipshit in front of them, their cell phone, and having you. Bunch of 12-year-olds behind giggle and talk.
I think Comcast is like limiting Link there all of a sudden.
Yes, he's got some data shaping going on.
Oh, let me check that out.
No
Link,
more.
Are you Canada, man? You hear about that crap up in Canada, like Rogers? They like, if you do like a VoIP call, like 50 minutes in, all of a sudden it'll just fall apart on you.
Why are they doing that with Comcast? The Comcast stuff too.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I thought that Comcast was just like doing BitTorrent traffic or something.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Well, you cleared up now, so.
Must have been the solar flares or some shit. I don't know.
Your download just finished.
Maybe my wife's on the internet out in the other room, probably.
Speaking of theaters, we have I don't recall ever seeing one of these up north in Pennsylvania. Cafe Cinema, where you can order like dinner and everything. You go in there, they have tables.
Yeah, they don't do that in Pennsylvania. They do that in New York. I've been to a place like that in New York, though.
Yeah, it was. We went to see Superbad at Cafe Cinema, and we sat down. We got a lunch there and two pitchers of beer, which was really, you know, interesting. Drinking beer and watching a movie, because that's something you don't really do in a movie theater. In the United States, but the place was extremely clean. The concept was good, but it was kind of distracting from the movie experience. We thought.
Especially if you're eating dinner while the movie's on.
Yeah, I mean, usually you know,
like staying at home and watching it on TV,
stuffing popcorn in your mouth or something like that. You don't even have to watch, but you know, when you're actually like. Using utensils and cutting stuff and, you know, pouring beer and everything.
Maybe that's good, though. Maybe that helps people, you know, shut the hell up and watch the movie, you know?
Yeah, and then the
if
wife...
they're eating at the same time.
Yeah, the
I would just be happy if they put cell phone jammers in all the theaters.
That would be a good start.
Because there's
the
absolutely
hard
no
to see
reason.
What you're eating. It's hard to eat salad in the dark. I'm sorry, go ahead, Alan. I didn't mean to
No, I just
said
there's absolutely no reason for cell phones in theaters.
Millions of people
millions of people survived without having a cell phone in a theater for years.
Yep.
You don't need it now.
And don't use that excuse, well, what if you're a doctor or some bullshit?
Yeah, that's bullshit there.
They didn't have cell phones in theaters back then, you know.
Doctors had freaking pagers that buzzed on their fucking hips.
That's right, something.
Or
and that's a good idea.
It buzzes on their hip, and in order to talk, they have to leave the theater.
Yeah.
Huh? That's an idea right there.
I just want somebody to find a cell phone jammer, and I want to buy one.
They're out there. They're still a little on the expensive side.
Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is they're just too damn expensive still. And I can't find anybody who will build that little one from the MIT one that I had for a while. I had the plans for it, but I can't find anybody to build it for me.
Cell phone jammers should be free, and everybody should be given one.
Yeah.
Many problems would be solved.
Either I just make the whole theater.
You can hear the email now, right, from all the cell phone people.
Look at that. Just make the whole theater a giant Faraday cage.
There you go.
That would shut them up real good.
Bum, bum, bum.
I got a couple things to talk about.
All right, I'll see you guys later. Pat's
good night.
Over.
See you.
What's that, Pat?
Main actor. Main Actor, back in July, Main Concept, the company behind Main Actor, which is a video editor, back in July they announced that they were ceasing development on all versions, including the Linux version. Now, this is a package that sold for, I think, $199, $299, I forget where it was.
Yeah, I thought it was $300.
Yeah, I think it was $299. So, they stopped selling it. The last version they released, I think, was back in May. So I sent an email to the CEO of the company back then in July, and he actually replied back to me. You know, I asked him, you know, now that you guys are not going to be, you know, supporting anymore, how about releasing it as open source software? And he's like, we're looking into it. There's some costs that are involved with it. We'll get back to you, blah, blah, blah. And after that, I never heard back from him. Dan Dennehy, a few days ago, he emailed me. Apparently, there's an online petition, iPetition, to try to get people to convince the company to release Main Actor. So, I sent out an email to different shows and stuff. The guys at the Linux Action Show mentioned it. Chess Griffin mentioned it. And I'm going to mention it tonight. So, if you guys could go to the website and just sign the petition, I would really appreciate it. Hopefully, the Main Concept company has enough sense to, you know, say, you know, since we're not going to be making any money off of it, let's release it and see what these guys can do with it. So here is the online petition. Please take a minute and go on and sign the petition. Doesn't cost anything. We'd appreciate it. And hopefully these guys, you know, will do it. I think it would be a good thing. And Dan Dennehy has volunteered to lead the project if it is open sourced. So thanks to Dan Dennehy.
So I go fill out the petition, and then it wants me to help support iPetitions with a donation.
You don't have to do that.
But there's no way to cancel it. I guess you just close it.
Yeah, if you just close it, it'll go through.
They won't get my money.
There you are. I see you on the list, Dan. Yeah, it's a bummer this is no longer being produced. Please release it to the community so it can continue to survive. Well said, Dan.
I would be interested to know if they would actually do, you know, see if they actually do that. I wonder if there's any proprietary codecs support in there that would make it difficult.
It's possible. The company says that their main business now is codecs, you know, coding and stuff, so.
Huh.
Yeah, so we'll see.
What was the other thing you wanted to say, or could I cut in with something?
Oh, I want to talk about Schedules Direct. Basically, okay. if you're a MythTV user in North America, the way to get your programming information was a service called Zap2It, and it was a free service that was provided from I think Tribune. And basically, you would go to the website, you would register for free, you would say what cable system or, you know, satellite provider you had, where you lived. You would be able to generate a listing of your programs that are on your system, and that would generate an XML file, and then when you set up the TV, you would point to it, it would go into the Zap2It and pull down your program information. Well, a few months ago, a couple months back, Zap2It announced that they were ceasing operations as of September 1st. Okay, so everybody freaked out at the time. They're like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? You know, blah, blah, blah. So what happened was a bunch of the guys from the MTV project, as well as a few other projects, and they stepped up, and they created the service called Schedules Direct. And what Schedules Direct is, it's, they go in and they've negotiated with Tribune to get the data feeds. Now, the big negative is that it's no longer free. These guys are doing all the legwork. They're setting up the service. So what they're doing is, to get your data programming, initially, there's a three-month subscription at $15. But they're hoping to get enough people signed on and using the service so that the fee drops down to $20 a year. And I set it up today. It does require an upgrade of your MythTV packages. My MythTV install is based on Ubuntu, so the packages are out there. I installed it. It took all about 5 minutes to install the upgraded packages. I went in to set up, I pointed it to Schedules Direct, and set it up to it. You know, I did a MythFill database, which is the program that will go down and pull all the database information for the programming guide. And it's working. It's fine. So I had a pretty positive experience today. It took all of maybe 20 minutes to do it. Each install of MythTV is going to be different depending upon what your install base is. I know the NotMyth people have their own thing that they got to do. The people that have the Fedora-based one. So it's all going to be, you know, a little bit different. So I went in and I registered for the, and I paid the $15. I think it's a good cause. It's a non-profit, by the way. These guys are not making any money on top of what they need to get the operation up and running. So hopefully enough people will sign on and that price will drop down to $20 a year. Now, it's still a lot cheaper than using the subscription for TiVo. I know Alan has a lifetime subscription to TiVo that he paid, what, $300-$400 at the time, Alan? How much did you pay?
I think it was about $299 when I bought it. That was like,
yeah.
My TiVo is going on 6 or 7 years. I bought the TiVo One when it first came out.
Right. They don't even offer that lifetime subscription anymore. So
no, sadly, they just killed it off just before I bought the TiVo 2.
Right.
And they wouldn't let me transfer the TiVo 1 over. I called them up about it.
This is still a lot cheaper than doing the TiVo service if you do like the yearly or the biannual one. It's still a lot cheaper than that. And no one is forcing you to use this. You can go and create your own screen scraper script to go out and do it yourself. The only problem with that is you run the risk of things breaking every once in a while. These guys are going through to make sure the data is set up correctly and then the feed is good and everything. So, you know, I think it's a small price to pay to make sure your information is correct. So I'm supporting these guys' Schedules Direct. I'm going to post the website.
And packets a buck for every time you sign up.
I wish. So, speaking of MythTV, Alan, I know you have the script set up to export your recorded shows to your
to
Nokia.
China.
Yeah.
What are you using? You use a custom Perl script for that?
No, not really. There is one. It's a 770 in code.
And that's a standalone script?
Yeah, it's a standalone script, and I just put a little wrapper on the front of it that put the names for the TiVo, or not TiVo, excuse me, the MythTV names for whatever you recorded onto it. Yeah, because unfortunately Myth throws everything into that, all the numbers format. It's got all the time and date and everything's on numbers, so it's not really easy to read on it. But it does get all the info from it. And then you just have to set up a job that has the title and the file name in it.
Yeah, I just installed actually Nuv Export, which is a standalone plugin script.
Mm-hmm.
To basically take your recordings and export it to all these different formats. It supports like DivX, XVid, MP4. If you just want an audio file, it'll generate an MP3 file. I believe there's an iPod video.
There's a script out there that'll automatically export it to your iPod stuff. That's an interesting one there too. But if you need that one, the nice thing about throwing it up in the Nokia one. On is if you make the directory that you save it in viewable what you can do is, you know, if you can run the VLC, you can actually stream it through VLC. And since it's small to begin with, it doesn't eat up a lot of bandwidth, and I can even get it out of just the cable modem here. I watch TV at work from that way. You can't watch live stuff, of course, but anything you've recorded, you can stream right from home, right from work or wherever else you want to.
Right. That's pretty cool. The reason why I wanted to NUV export is for the shows that I recorded. See, I have a standard definition capture card, a hot pot card, and that encodes the card, the videos on the fly to MPEG-2. Now, MPEG-2, they're pretty large. I think the default is like an hour of video is like 2 gig.
Yeah.
So it's quite large. So if you don't have a huge hard drive, you know, you might run out of space. I mean, I have a pretty large hard drive. I got a 250 gig hard drive. So that's not really an issue to me, but I'd like to export some shows or different things to maybe DivX or XVID. So I installed this. The only thing, the only negative with the NUV export on Ubuntu is that the FFmpeg is busted, so you got to go and compile FFmpeg from the source, which is not a big deal. There are how-tos out there, and it's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But once you recompile the FFmpeg, you know, from CVS, you get all the codecs and everything in NUV export. So I've been playing with that so I can archive some of my shows that I've recorded. I want to free up some hard drive space. And you can also burn your shows to DVD as well.
I was saying, just burn them to DVD.
Yeah, that's another option too.
Well, I never knew whether that worked. I thought I had a DVD player or a burner in the box I had here. I couldn't figure out why the hell it wasn't working until I finally took it out there and go, oh shit, it's not a DVD player. No.
Yeah, the other thing that people do with the NUV export, you can set it up similar to what you described, where after your show is recorded, it'll automatically and archive the show.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I don't want that. I just want certain shows to be archived, so I don't have that automatically set up. I do it manually from the command line. You know, I SSH into the box workstation.
I was saying, the only problem you have with like a lot of the scripts is they don't bother to take the commercials out. So you have to put up with the commercials.
I think these things will cut them out. It takes the commercial flag and then it will chop them out for you.
Okay, because I know the one I do doesn't. But it really doesn't care because most of the stuff I watch is cartoons anyway, so they're only 15 minutes long.
Yeah. Robot Chicken, they're
Robot
pretty short.
Chicken, oh yeah. Anything on Adult Swim, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, I record all the Adult Swim ones that I like.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I'm pretty satisfied with the MIT-TV install on top of Ubuntu. I've been pretty happy with it. Haven't had any real major issues, and the upgrade path is pretty easy. So there's a lot of documentation. If you go out to the Ubuntu wiki, there's a lot of documentation related to MIT-TV, and it's very good. I actually contributed a page to set up the blaster and the change channel script for this cable box that I got here for the RC and the Motorola DCT-700 box.
Okay.
Yeah, so I actually contributed that one. So it's pretty good. I've been pretty happy with it. I can't complain. And the transition to Schedule Direct was pretty seamless. Now, hopefully enough people will sign up and that price comes down to $20 a year, which is very reasonable, I think.
Yeah, I've got to get a PayPal account so I sign up for it.
The main reason why Zaptoid ceased that service for free, more than likely, from what everybody's saying, like on different bulletin boards, it probably had to do with the fact that there's people out there selling commercial MIT-TV boxes, and what they're doing is basically, you know, setting up their customers to use the Zaptoid for free. Now, technically, if you're using a commercial service, you got to do everything legal. You know, you can't just freaking, you know, go around the, you know, like the home enthusiast types that, you know, like us. You know, which is, you know, Zaptoid was very nice to use that, make that service available for the longest time. I mean, that service was out there for years. I remember the first time I did a MIT-TV setup on, I think it was Fedora 3 or 2 even. I used Zaptoid, so, I mean, it's been out there for a long time, so I guess all good things come to an end at a certain point, you know?
This is true. It gets abused.
But at least these guys stepped up, they got it done, and it's out there, and it works. So please check out Schedules Direct if you're a MIT-TV user. Now, Schedules Direct also supports a whole bunch of other projects. I think it also uses Freevo it works with. There's an Apple project that's out there, and there's even a Windows project that uses it, too. So So you can check out the Schedules Direct website and get more information.
Do it.
What else do I have? I think that's it. So go out and sign the petition for main actor. And if you're a MIT TV user, check out Schedules Direct. I think I'm done for tonight.
Link, Dan, it's your turn.
I had my piece early on. I think it's Dan's turn. I'm just honest with you guys. I'm like, I'm zoning over here. I'm falling asleep on my microphone. A little drool going on. I did want to mention, though, before we roll into something and end up cutting out and I forget, got some, this guy I work with, Fisher, who has a band, plays funk. And I'm going to be getting some music for us to play from his funk band for our outros and stuff like that. And I wanted you guys all to check out his little site. There's not much on it yet. Let me see if I can get the link copied over there. But, yeah, my buddy Fisher at www.fisherfunk.com. So, www.fisherfunk.com. That's where you go to check out Fisher and his little funk band. Like I said, there's not much on his website yet, but I talked to him, spoke to him about it today, and he said that he's going to, they're going to be ramping up and getting some stuff together, maybe eventually having some stuff to sell, and he said it'd be cool if we played some of his tunes, so I'll get a hold of some of them too, but you can listen to some of his stuff that's on his website now. Funk from Fisher.
Should download it. We need music for later.
Well, see, the problem is it plays in Flash on his website. And I know he said he had a MySpace page, but I just can't bring myself to go looking for it, you know, to see if I could scrape some music off of there. One of those deals.
Hey, any guys catch the first episode of the second season of The IT Crowd?
I did.
Oh, my God. Was that hysterical or what?
Yeah. That's great, man.
Oh my God, was that funny?
I'm leg disabled.
Oh, it must be all being disabled and gay.
Yeah. That was funny.
Oh my God.
Great show.
She turns around, the guy's behind the bar.
Yep. Great show. Yeah. If you guys haven't watched IT Crowd, you know, you gotta go do that. That is awesome.
Yeah, I was watching one with my wife, and she was hysterical, man. She's like, do you have any other new episodes, too? I'm like, nah, that's the only one so far.
Yep. Unfortunate as it is, that's the only one. That's one that they ought to have. You know, I hope they have, like, years and years of that, and it's in syndication afterwards, because it really is hysterical funny, you know.
Now, the first season only had, what, 8 episodes, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
It was too short. It should have went longer, but... At least it came
back. 7, it was very... Not very many. And I didn't think... I think a lot of people didn't think they were coming back. And then, I think they got, like, a humongous request for it. You know what I mean? And that's what brought the show back. But it's really awesome.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, it's funny.
Oh, dude, you are... completely missing out. That's the best thing on television right now. Has to be. Ken says BitTorrent rules. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna get quite used to it. Actually, I think that they're making those episodes free for download, aren't they?
If you live in Great Britain, I think, yeah. You can just like watch it on the BBC
fully help us here.
Site. But what I heard, and I haven't checked it out yet, is that if you get the BBC channel, the BBC USA kind of thing, they play it on there, too.
I never seen it on there.
The BBC America, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah, I get that channel. I don't think I've ever seen it on there.
I've been watching, Top Gear on there?
Telling me that, so.
Which one?
Top Gear.
I was watching that show, Hex. That was a weird show. Do you guys watch the new Doctor Who at all?
No.
I tried to get into it. I can't get into it. I don't know.
I've had it recording on TiVo, but I have yet to watch it.
Oh, someone's burning.
I just did another fire down the
old version of K3B. The new version doesn't play that song anymore.
That's okay. I like the song. You can turn the song off. It's not a big deal. And I have 4 more to go.
Yeah.
So how many DVDs are we burning? I got here about 100. I'm going to do probably another 50.
That will be 100 for me there.
So that'll be 250.
It's just a matter of getting my wife to write on them so that people can actually read. So.
I have burned exactly none.
That's because you suck and hate freedom.
And I haven't had any freaking time to do it either.
However, I was
talking to Dan, and my thought was, if I can find some freaking spare time, is that instead of doing DVDs of all the other stuff like you guys were doing, I might cut some CDs that hold the remaining episodes up through like 205 as a companion to go with the DVDs, you know, if they just want to hear like some real recent kind of stuff.
For $10 more, you can have a companion CD.
One thing we do have to pick up is we have to go around. I don't know if we can get them at Staples or wherever, but those little plastic sleeve or paper sleeves.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap. They're cheap, those things. Link, yeah. I don't see your name on the fly petition.
It's because I haven't gone there yet.
He hates freedom.
That's right.
He wants to pay the $300 for closed software.
Ben wants some of Dan's private collection.
Of freedom.
Of DVDs.
I don't have many DVDs, and I don't have any porn either. So I
that's what we all say.
I only have a little bit of porn. I only have a little bit. Not that much.
I don't have any. I only have a little bit.
Yeah, only a little bit. Very little bit.
I only have enough to start my own company.
No, I don't have a lot of porn. I don't want to watch porn anymore. Not very often. Occasionally. Anyway, you know what?
Is it in German?
A few times a week. Yeah.
I don't like. You know, contrary to what you might believe, I don't like that stuff.
He likes the French version instead.
Yes, no, I don't like scat porn, I don't like bestiality, I don't like any of that stuff.
Strictly bondage,
likes,
Dan. Strictly bondage.
He just likes eliciting disgusting results from people when he shows it to
them. I know, people are going to start sending him stuff in the mail.
It's not that he watches it for you know, ideas and stuff that he likes. He's like just a shock jock. You walk into his house and he whips it out on you and goes, "Hey, look at this! Oh!
Nothing but gimp porn."
Anyway, back to technology. Couple of things. One, I have one of these little USB flash, you know, portable flash drive things. Where you could take an SD flash card and slip it in there and stick it in your USB port. And it's a little cheap thing. I got it at Walmart for like $20. It came with a 512 meg flash card. And I have my 1 gig flash card in here, SD flash, that's just loaded full of music files. Surprisingly legal music files for all those who would care. I frequent fluxblog.org and they always have downloads off of there. Anyway, lo and behold, today I am doing laundry and look at the bottom of the washing machine, and the little green device is laying at the bottom of the washing machine after a full cycle with my 1 gig card full of music on it. And I pulled it out and let it air dry for a little while, and I took the card out.
And it was really clean.
Yeah, it smells good. I took the card out and I plugged it. I slapped it into my laptop as a flash reader on it, and lo and behold, it came right up. Everything was fine. So I thought, I just wonder. So I put the card back in the reader, and I stuck the reader in my laptop and USB port, and that worked just fine too.
Cool.
So I'm really, you know, didn't get ruined. I'm happy. Nice solid state electronic device. Good, good stuff. Good stuff. Chicky, chicky, chicky.
And there you have it.
And that is half the story. Another story.
You were jogging, and you had to go to the bathroom.
No. On my workstation at work, of course, I run Ubuntu, Feisty. And a couple weeks ago, I switched from Barrel to Compiz Fusion. I know I was complaining for a while there how it just wasn't, you know, as configurable and easy to get running as Barrel was. But they've done an extremely impressive job on getting things functional. So at work, I've been running Compiz Fusion with all the cool new plugins. Last week, though, there were some updates to the core Compiz packages that I'm using the, what is it, what is it, 3D Labs or Tux Family? I forget what it was. The Tervino repository for Feisty. And the packages got a little honky, and the configuration utility broke. It was difficult for a couple of days, but they got it fixed pretty fast. I guess Torvino was on vacation. Came back, got it all fixed, and everything was going pretty well. The airplane animation, I think, is really cool. Have you guys heard about that, the paper airplane?
No.
What it actually does is, you know, like, you've obviously seen, like, the burn effect and stuff where you close a window and it burns up, or you got the beam effect where it turns into, like, a laser beam and blips out. Well, the paper airplane one is the window folds up like a paper airplane and flies off.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Cool.
It is really cool. It happens really fast. But, you know, and you can have it set that it also does it on, like, it opens it up or it minimizes it. You know, when it opens it up, it kind of like the airplane comes in and unfolds into the window. It's pretty cool. There's another one called Skewer. I've heard about it. I haven't actually seen it yet. I'm wondering if the Skewer plugin just doesn't work that well on Feisty or overall. But the Compiz Fusion has taken the best of Compiz and the best of Barrel and kind of put it all together. And it's really, really, really sweet. Compiz-fusion.org, I believe, or opencompositing.org is the website to check out. And information on how to get it installed for your distribution of choice. One thing I had an issue with the past couple of days is, for some reason, I was having a problem with certain types of windows that would pop up, dialog boxes and stuff, when, in particular, like if you're familiar with Ubuntu, with the software update system, you click on a little notification at the top, and it says you want to update your software. You know, it shows you what packages are available. It's a nice, handy little utility. You click OK, and it prompts you for your password to run gtksudo. And I would put in my password, and the dialog box for the password would fade away, but it would leave a transparent window that was the same size, an echo of itself, a little wire, beveled wired frame around there that would still remain on the screen, and it would remain on every screen. And it was an odd effect, and sometimes other things like that would pop up. Like in game, if you hover over somebody's name in the list, it pops up a little more information. Sometimes those windows would just disappear and leave like a white box behind that was more opaque than the login box or the password box. And it was getting to be really annoying. And I didn't have time to really look into it, and the only way I can get rid of this at the time was to log out and log back in and restart Compiz and everything like that. So finally I got fed up with it today, and I started messing around with it, trying to figure out why this is doing it. What is causing the problem? Because I posted to the Compiz Fusion forum, and nobody had responded for a couple hours. So I figured there's got to be something going on here. So I set my Compiz Fusion configuration all the way back to the defaults. In the manager, they have a handy thing that you could just click a button and it resets everything to defaults. And I retry what I've been normally doing to replicate this problem, and it didn't occur. So it meant that something that I had enabled was causing this problem. So I played around with it, and when I checked the animations and had all the animations on random, that's when I would see it. If I turned off animations, any windows or a ghost of windows that were on the screen would disappear. I turn them back on, and I repeat my process to create them, and they would be created. I tried disabling all the animations one at a time and enabling them, and I could not figure out exactly what was causing it other than the fact that having animations enabled was producing the same results. So as I'm trying to ferret out what the problem is, I reset everything back to defaults again, repeated enabling the animations and a few other things, and lo and behold, now I can't replicate the problem. And I hate when that happens, because I would really like to figure out what was causing it, but now it's not replicating. I mean, I guess I shouldn't complain too much, but since none of you guys are using Compiz Fusion, just some thoughts about it. I know there's been some complaints or whatever, that more than likely Compiz Fusion will not be enabled by default in Gusty Gibbon. I would suspect it's not. The Ubuntu developers are concerned that having gone from Barrel, taking the direction to fusing Barrel and Compiz together, it probably is still not ready for prime time and has some bugs in it. And in some ways, I kind of agree with them. The few weeks that I've been using Compiz Fusion have been really interesting, but it's not without its issues I would say it was, Barrel was a little more stable, but we're working, and Compiz was pretty stable, but now that we're putting the two products together, we're introducing all new issues and new development process here, there's bound to be some issues that are going to occur, and lo and behold, they have, and I've had issues. They haven't been show-stopping issues. Like, I have never had my session totally bork my computer that it was unusable. What generally tends to happen is if something screws up that it can't operate properly, it dumps out, and I get stuck back in MetaCity with GNOME, and I have all my functionality, but what ends up being annoying is that in the process of dumping me out, all my applications end up on one desktop. And, you know, I kind of like, well, wait a minute, what just happened here? My hotkeys don't work the way they were working before. And that can be very disconcerting to a typical user or a general user who might not be kind of geek or tech savvy. You know, it's easy to get it back running again. I can either start it manually or log out and log back in. But it's the little things like that. The playing around with the settings and ending up with those ghosted windows and not really, you know, being apparent as to how to get rid of them or even what is actually causing them. So maybe Compiz Fusion is not ready for everybody yet, but it's coming a long way and is looking fantastic. And I recommend you guys try it out yourselves. But you won't, because you guys suck.
Speak for yourself.
I am. I'm speaking for all of you.
Yeah.
Alan even signed that petition.
Sure, I signed petitions.
Alan likes freedom. That's all I can say. Boom, 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 boom. So what else we got going on? I didn't like hearing that.
Somebody peeling the paint?
Yeah, that wasn't me.
It was Dan.
No,
everybody knows it was Dan.
Not I.
I
can't find any pictures from the chicks with the purple hair from Space 1999.
That was a funny show, man.
I'm looking for the pictures of the moon chicks, but
I used to watch that show, man. A lot of those shows from that era, man.
Those are great shows.
You remember them as being great, but if you go back and watch them, man, they're not that great.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, like,
we have taken
I recorded a bunch of, like, Buck Rogers episodes on Sci-Fi from, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I watched some of them, man. Really cheesy, man.
That was what they did, you know? That's what made them good. They were cheesy.
You see the little string making the spaceship fly around, you know?
Yeah.
Twicky. Bitty, bitty, bitty.
Bitty, 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 yeah.
Let's go, Buck.
Hey, when's Venture Brothers Season 3 coming out?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Are they having a Season 3?
I thought they announced they were.
I hope so.
I got into that show, man. That's a great show.
That's a great show, isn't it?
Oh, my God, it's so funny.
Go Team Venture.
Yeah.
There's so many funny references in that show.
That is an awesome show.
They actually had a Twiki reference in one of the episodes I watched the other day.
Oh, excuse me.
What am I doing here? Tell you what I'm not doing. My wireless connection is getting flaky again, and I hate that.
Yeah.
You got it, or your port extreme?
I hate that.
What? No. I have a Linksys, and it gets really flaky sometimes. I think I need to get a new one. It's kind of old. It's worked really well for a while. I'm kind of reluctant to get a new one. I don't know why. I don't like dicking around with wireless. I hate wireless. Because it never works for any system the way you want it to. It's always like got its middle finger up at you. Taunting you. Saying, I'm over here. You can see me, but you can't connect.
Yeah.
I hate it. I saw Pan's Labyrinth.
I have that recorded in high def. I haven't had a chance to watch it.
I liked it. Although people have said it was really violent, I did not find it that violent. It wasn't really that violent. It was good.
It's creepy, right? It's kind of like disturbing.
I guess we might. There are some scenes, like some of the creatures are creepy. I've heard other people complain about this. I mean, it's a good movie, but the fantasy element of the movie is kind of overshadowed by the
events
of what's going on in the real world.
Is it like Nightbreed, except with better effects? Remember that movie, that Clive Barker movie?
I didn't see Nightbreed.
Is it in Spanish?
Yes.
Dan Slammer? It is.
It is in Spanish with...
who did that? Guillermo del Toro, right? The Mexican director?
Yeah. It's a great movie. I pretty much guarantee you're going to like it.
But I think it's a Spanish movie, though.
It is. It is a Spanish movie. I was the special effects on there were... It's a beautiful movie. But I left me wanting more of the fantasy world. The story is really good. I mean, I wasn't disappointed, and what was happening during the war, I thought that the story that they told was very well told in both realms. And the characters are just absolutely great. So, you're going to enjoy it. That's what I think, and I think Link thinks the same thing, right, Link?
I don't know yet, man, but I can tell you that I bought it and I have it on DVD, but I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely, it is definitely a decent movie.
You said it's in Spanish, right? It's got, like, subtitles or some shit? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it's subtitled.
Okay, because I don't know if I'm, you know, right this moment I'm up for, you know, a culturally enriching experience, you know?
You know, and...
there you go. Space 1999.
There are a few scenes in there that are a little on the violent side, but I'm still trying to figure out why it was given an R rating in some respects. I didn't think it was really that. You could have probably cut out some of the one scene where the guy gets his face smashed in with a gun, and you could have probably made it a PG-13 movie. Maybe cut down on some of the, and the language wasn't even that bad. Good movie. And you know what else is good? What is really, really good? I got Metroid Prime 3 Corruption yesterday. It just came out yesterday. Phenomenal game.
Okay.
It is a beautiful game. But I don't think any of you guys play any of the Metroid games, do you?
No.
Nope.
I mean, you all suck again. I'm sorry. It was a guy bashing a face in with a wine bottle, not with a gun, but my mistake. Oh, wait, I thought it was the pistol. No, it was the wine bottle. Anyway, Metroid Prime 3, beautiful, beautiful game. Anything else for the good of the cause? It's 10:22 I have over here.
Nothing here.
Works for me, man.
Out, enjoying life, anxiously awaiting our fun-filled trip to the Ohio Linux Fest. If you're listening to this and you're not registered to go, boy,
speak closer to the mic.
La 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 la
la la la la.
Was that it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. That's it. Well, I would
pick a song for us, Dan.
I have a song.
Oh, that's cool.
I have a blues song.
Ooh.
It's in the genre blues by Zelensky.
When Dan says it's a genre, it's usually the complete opposite.
It's punk.
No, this is actually blues. Well, it's supposedly blues. It's called Devils in D.C. by Dave Ski off the album Live from the Loft. Oh, crap, it's 8 minutes, so I guess I better play it now so Alan can close everything up then. Here we go.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Next week?
Yes, we do.
Who?
Andrew Grigg from Kulu, the embedded Linux.
Oh, okay.
That's that company up in Canada that Mad Dog's part of.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to number 207. Make sure you jump back in next week to catch us for 208. And like I said again, make sure you register right away for the Ohio Linux Fest. Don't miss it. We're going to have a great time.
Yep.
And
you
knows,
Dan need to register for your free beer.
That's right.
And who knows, Dan may even have to reboot again.
Right.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
All right, good night.
Dirty deeds, not cheap. done in the middle of the night. Touch to the floor, you live like a rich. No amount of money can satisfy their itch. Criminalize drugs for you and me. Unless you buy from their company. Yes, the devil's in D.C. You best beware. The devil's in D.C. You voted him there. The devil's in D.C. You better start to care. Argue for the right while doing the wrong. Don't pay no mind. Just send the money along. A hidden agenda, but just don't pay to discover. To prosecute one, then there's always another. The conspiracies abound throughout history. Yeah, and they're hiding the truth from you and me. Yes, the devil's in D.C. You better beware. The devil's in D.C. You voted him there. The devil's in D.C. You better start to care. Judging all others, they have no right. Dirty deeds, not cheap, in the stealth of night. Trivial issues, just aim to polarize. They spread discontent in devilish disguise. They control the whims of society. They're keeping all the best from you and me. Yes, the devil's in D.C. You best beware. The devil's in D.C. You voted him there. The devil's in D.C. You better start to care. And laws they create. Redundant discussion, endless debate. Yes, the devil's in D.C., you best beware. You voted him there. You better start to care. Thank you. to have it all. You can't have none. You can't get it if you got your guns. They're in control. Your number, they've got. You can't resist. They win. You've lost. It's out of control, people. You've got to see. There's nothing left for you and me. Yes, the devil's in D.C. You best beware. The devil's in D.C. You voted him there. Well, that devil's in D.C. You better start to care. The devil's in D.C. His evil abounds. The devil's in D.C. You gotta turn it around. The devil's in D.C. In evil disguise. The devil's in D.C. We gotta hasten his demise. Yeah, he's just bad company. That devil's in D.C. It's up to you and me. The devil's in D.C. You best beware. You voted him there. You better start to care.
Shut up.
Shut up. It's over.
Aye, aye, aye.